And we're on.
Everybody's got a handout. We are on study 12, looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 today. But before we get there, we'll just kind of do our opener, little review of last week's study. Here's the big question. Why are two women named in chapter 4?
They didn't get along.
They just didn't really see eye to eye. They did not get along. Yep, they aren't agreeing with each other over something. We don't know what it is. They just are not in agreement. And then number two, it says, whose names are written in the book of life? Who does Paul mention? It's kind of the same ladies that don't get along. He said their names are still written in the Lamb books of life, but it's got Clement is another name that he gives, along with all the other people that are in the church of Philippi that have been very helpful and that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So you got three names there in the fourth chapter. You got Euodia and Syntyche and Clement. Hey there, Elmer.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Tim, you made her. Hi, Norma.
Hi, James.
Hi. Oh.
Yeah, I need to just give another sheet there for Tim. Well, we're glad you're not in Turkey today.
Yeah.
Or who knows where.
Yeah, where, yeah. Yeah,
good to see
you. Thank you.
So we often do hear about where you're at from your parents.
Yeah.
And they think a lot of you, as well as your other brother. So I'm not sure if you're the favorite or not, but...
Yeah. My brother thinks he is.
Well, let him think that way.
No.
We'll claim to be our favorite.
Yeah. Well, we were on the opener of the worksheet. Just got done with 1 and 2. We're on number 3. What is Paul's message to the Philippians? What is his message to the Philippians?
Rejoice.
Yeah. Rejoice. How often?
Always.
Always. Now, is that an easy thing to do?
No.
Yeah, it's not always easy to rejoice. Yeah, I think it'd be hard for Elmer to be rejoicing and Norma to be rejoicing when you find out that you've got cancer. You know? Rejoice always. Dave Convey's here and he lost his hearing. You know, does that make Jan say, well, I'm going to rejoice always? You know? No, there's just things that happen in life that sometimes just are not always joyful. But it doesn't mean you don't have the joy of the Lord still within you, you know, as well. Number 4, what are the fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in Philippians 4:2-9? Do you remember? We kind of went over those last week. I think there's 4 fruits of the Spirit. There are 9 that are given in the Scriptures, but there's 4 that are mentioned here in this chapter. What are they?
Joy, love, gentleness, and peace.
That is correct. You win the car. Hey. Joy, love, peace, gentleness are mentioned in that chapter, the last chapter of Philippians. And then I put in there, what is the list of the whatevers in verses 8 and 9 in Philippians? Remember, that's the key word that young people use today? Whatever. You know, it doesn't tell you anything, whatever, but Paul tells us whatever, and he means something here in the fourth chapter. What do you have for a list?
Whatever is noble.
Okay.
Is right. Pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say what? Excellent or praiseworthy? Whatever. You know, these are the things we're supposed to think on, aren't they? And then he also says, you know, whatever you have learned, received, heard, or seen in Paul, he then says, well, then put those things into practice. Put those things into practice. And so Paul is one that can really say this. You know, it's kind of, he said before, you know, go by my example, go by my pattern of life. It's kind of like, if you're looking at me, I want you to see Jesus in my life, because that's really what it's all about, in his mindset. And that really is encouraging for us too, that we are being watched. We want to pass on to our kids, to our grandkids, what the faith is like in Jesus Christ. All right, so that was last week's study, just a little review. We move into today's study, which is just verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. So that's four verses we're just going to look at today. And hopefully we'll just get some discussion that goes on, so that time will go by quickly. Number one, Philippians 4, verse 10. What are the two reasons for Paul's rejoicing? He is rejoicing here, but why does he rejoice? What are the two reasons that we find him rejoicing here?
Rejoice greatly in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they renewed their concern for him.
Yep, that's it. He begins by saying, in the Lord he can rejoice. And he rejoices because the believers in Philippi have renewed their concern for Paul. That brings him much joy, knowing that he's, even though he's in prison, there are people who still are praying for him, thinking about him, and making a difference in his life as well. So we go to some true and false here. Paul is concerned about himself. True or false?
False.
Why is that false? That's the correct answer. Just why is it false?
He has enough faith that the fact that he can do his work with the people from prison.
Yeah.
He's happy to sacrifice captivity if he feels like he's enhancing the Lord's kingdom.
Yeah. It's a good answer. It seems like he's always thinking about other people, how they're doing. And then in some ways, it's kind of what you do, isn't it, Tim? You kind of go to different places around the world and encourage people, find out what's going on, and anything you can do to help support them along the way. Or sometimes it's like, hey, can I just pray for you before I go? You know, they enjoy that, you know. So in some ways, we have a Paul right here with us. You know. number three, true or false? Paul has a secret in getting help from others. True or false?
False.
A secret.
Are you sure, Sharon? You want to change your answer?
No, I'm not going to change it. I'm not sure it's right.
But
I'm sticking with it anyway.
That's correct. False. He does talk about having a secret. What is that secret?
Being content in every situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says that he knows what it's like to be in need, and he knows what it's like to have plenty. And it's whether he's well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. But he says he's found the secret that he can be in any situation, any circumstance, and have the joy of the Lord in his life. He's content. Really what it comes down to. He's content in knowing that God is there with him. God is going to take care of him. He's not there alone. And he can rely and depend on the Lord's help in his life. Number four, true or false? Paul's strength comes through what he can do.
False.
Oh, you guys can think about it longer. But it's correct. False. I didn't realize. I thought that'd probably trick you to go like, there's got to be one true in here.
Yeah.
So it can't be all false. But yeah, it's false. Paul's strength comes through what Jesus can do. And he knows that. He's not trusting in himself. But he trusts that his strength is going to come from the Lord. And this is while he's in prison. I think when we get to the end, which will be we're not going to meet next Thursday because of day camp, but we'll have one more study. But in that last study, we will begin to see some things that Paul notices whereby God is using him in ways he never thought was possible. And it all has to do with Caesar's household. And who is Caesar at this time? What's the name of the Caesar?
Is it Nero?
Yeah. You know, we're going to get into that more in a couple of weeks, but he's able to be able to make a real impact and influence some of Caesar's household, some of the people that are close to Nero. And so at this particular time, Nero is not against the Christians, as he will become. But there's probably been even some conversions that have gone on. Some people have come to believe in the gospel in Caesar's own household. And we'll get into that more in a couple of weeks. So tell about a time in your life when you had a need and you didn't tell anyone about it. You know, unless you're married. You then probably talked about it as husband and wife. Have you ever had a time like that in your life where there was a need, but you just didn't tell anybody? You were just trusting God to come to your rescue or to help you with that.
Well, I bet we all have. It's hard to recall the exact.
I know. I'll give you time to think.
All right.
I thought my wife would say something.
I can't think of them, but there's many, many times.
You had a real need to get married, and you prayed that I would be the one. Is that the one?
Don't believe in false.
No, that's not true.
That's not putting words in your mouth.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can think of one.
Okay, good.
When we were first married, we didn't have much money and we didn't have any furniture. And we moved to Bottineau, North Dakota. Tim was a youth pastor, and so we had this empty house, except for we had bought a bedroom furniture. I don't know why we chose that to buy, but we did.
Me do that. That was never on my list to go buy bedroom stuff.
Well,
but anyway, go ahead.
And so So somebody in the church had to move from their home into a smaller apartment, and so they had a big rummage sale. And so we went there, and we got a couch and a dining room table and end tables and some glassware and different things. And so that kind of took care of our family room. And you know, I don't know, we were able to afford it. I guess it wasn't too expensive. And so God provided that way. But then another lady in the church heard that we didn't have any living room furniture. And so she told the pastor to take us to the furniture store and pick out a couch and a chair and tables and a lamp or something, you know. And so I'm just going, wow, God, that is amazing that she would be willing to pay for all of that. And so then we got our living room furnished. And I had that rocking chair that we used. I mean, I rocked our children in it, our girls in it, you know, and I had it for, oh, man, I think until we... Well, I don't know, probably 30 years. And it was really, really great. So that was a time when we were just going to be the way we were, and then God provided abundantly for us. So.
Thank you, Sharon. Anybody else think of a time in your life? That God surprised you?
He didn't surprise us, I guess, that he had these two little girls who were born premature. Here they are today, you know. Mm-hmm. We took care of them in the hospital. They were never ill. One of the little babies had other illnesses, but they never got ill. They just kept progressing and came home.
How much did they weigh?
2 pounds, 9.5 ounces.
2 pounds and 9 ounces?
2 pounds, 9.5 ounces.
Oh, 9.5 ounces.
And 3 pounds, 4 ounces.
Wow. 3 pounds. You were a heavyweight. 3 pounds. No.
Wow.
Unbridled pouts. They are sweet little girls. They come to see me quite often.
How premature?
About 6 weeks.
Yeah.
6 weeks.
Yeah. Did Michelle have to be bed rest? Did the doctor have her?
Well, she had preeclampsia, and I guess it was bad enough when she went to the doctor that they took her right into the hospital.
Okay. Wow.
You know, blood pressure was too high.
That's amazing. You know, 2 pounds to 3 pounds, I mean, that's not even a handful.
Yeah. I know everybody in this church was praying.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's wonderful. Thank you, Dina. Anybody else think of anything in the meantime? Of how God came and provided or did something and answered a prayer that you've been praying, or maybe you didn't even pray. But you thank the Lord for what had taken place.
I think one example is Walt Meyer. Mm. As many people as prayed for him, and they're very spiritual and prayed. You know, we can see the results there.
Very thankful. Mm-hmm. Faithfulness of God. Yeah. How God provided, along the way. Yeah.
Who was that, Kathy?
Walt Meyer. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we had a prayer group praying for him and in church, and they're really godly about and faithful about praying and coming. So that, you know, you see that and you see it come to a good end.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, the key thing is when those things happen, does God get the credit or did you take the credit? And of course, with Paul, we want to go the direction that Paul would go, and that would be give all the praise and glory to God for what he has done. Because he's done a lot of amazing things. And he does it every day around the world. I wish we could have 24-hour news channel of all the things that we see God doing around the world, which we never hear. We just hear a lot of bad stuff. But
God's sightings every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. One morning I woke up when Elmer was first diagnosed and I thought, I need a sign. Mm. And lo and behold, there came this little lightning plug out by the window, just standing there, flash, flash. And I considered that a sign to them because there were no other lightning bugs out.
Just that was the only one.
Yeah.
What color was he flashing?
Bright. You know, like lightning bugs.
Yeah, yeah. I thought green, red, yellow.
That's really neat.
That's great.
I'll make a long story short, but we have good friends. They happen to be Catholic friends. And a year and a half ago, Jan was diagnosed with stomach cancer. And it was not good. The doctors, the oncologist gave her a 20% chance of living 2 years, which is, you know, stage four. So, but there's a lot of Catholic prayers and Lutheran prayers. Of course, I take all the prayers. But now for 2 or 3 trips to Rochester in a row, they can't find any cancer.
None.
They can't find it. So she's in complete remission. And, well, so you've been a year and a half. Well, she's going to make it 2 years for sure. But they can't find the cancer now. So it's a miracle.
And they know it was there, and now there's no sign of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what their doctor said. I can't explain this. It's nothing but a miracle.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot for a doctor to say. You know? That's good. We trust God in a lot of different ways when we see Him at work. Number 6, we'll just move on. Because you're such a talkative group here today, we'll move on. Paul's emotional and spiritual state in prison is one of being blank.
Content?
That's the word I'm looking for, content. Yeah. He really is content. I mean, I don't quite understand how that can be, but he is. Content. And it's all because of the Lord that he is the way that he is. Number 7, when was the opportunity for the Philippian church to do something for Paul? The reason I say that is because it says here, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Well, that has kind of changed. The church in Philippi has now been able to demonstrate and to show their concern. How did that take place?
They must have brought him things that he needed.
And who brought him?
The congregation.
Yeah. When they knew that, yeah, Epaphroditus, who is their pastor, was willing to go to Rome to find Paul and to deliver what the church had wanted to give to Paul, that was the opportunity. Someone from the church needed to go and to deliver those things that came from the rest of the body of the church to encourage him. And did it encourage Paul? I'm sure it did. It doesn't say what he was sent, what was given to him, but whatever it was, Paul said it was plenty. It was plenty.
Yeah, he said he had less, he had more.
Yeah, he knows what it was like not to have anything. He knew what it was like to have a lot. Number 8, a true or false, when a person is discontent, there's joy.
False.
Another false? I can't believe I did all false here. Yeah, discontent. You don't really find much joy when there's discontent. In the book of Philippians, it's so much different than the book of Revelation. And yet there's joy in Revelation too. But Paul really shows his personal connections with the church in Philippi by being so personable with them and honest with them, that he wanted to make sure that the joy they bring to him, that he could be just as joyful in sending news back to them about what the Lord is doing in his life as well. So when you think of discontentment, what are some of the fruit of being discontent? What could we notice if there is some discontentment out and about or around, or if someone is discontent? What would be the fruit that comes from that?
Grumbling. You talked about that the other one Sunday, didn't you?
No.
Okay. I think people seek God more when they're discontent.
Ken? Yeah. Think of the testimony last night at the Bible conference.
Yeah.
Looking for peace. He's looking for peace. And he was discontent. He wanted peace. If your God is real, then I want to have peace in my life. And that did come. Did come to him. Okay, what else is fruit of discontentment or being discontent?
Broken relationships.
Okay, can be broken relationships. Thank you for turning off your cell phones.
Sorry.
It's really the opposite of joy. If you're not joyful, what are you?
Sad.
Can be sad. Can be unhappy. To be discontent, you can be irritable. You can also be greedy because you want more. You think you deserve more or should have more. You could be depressed. You could be restless.
You want to argue.
Yeah, you can be a real pill, can't you? You can be unsatisfied with life, unsatisfied with everything. The key for, when you think of the one of the Ten Commandments dealing with covetousness, the remedy, the cure for covetousness is contentment. If you're content, you don't have to worry about anything else. Contentment. If you're content, you won't think about stealing. Because you'll say, I'm satisfied with what I have. What I have is good enough. All right, go to number 10. Philippians 4:13. What can you do through Christ?
Everything.
Yeah. Everything. Chew on that word for a while. Everything. He goes on and it says, who gives you strength to do everything?
The Lord.
The Lord Jesus Christ does. I don't always think like that. Do you? You can do everything? Can everything? God gives you strength. So it's kind of like the last one on the sheet there kind of goes along with how has this happened? How is this possible that we can do all things through Christ Jesus? In everything we are to blank. We look at actually chapter 4, verse 6. Yeah. Verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by
prayer and petition.
Yeah, with prayer petition with
Thanksgiving.
So we are not to blank about blank.
Worry.
We're not to worry about
anything.
Yeah. but we are to pray with thanksgiving. The power of prayer. I mean, we know that. It's just, I just don't think we're always very good at that. Of praying. If you just say, well, let's meet for prayer. Is that a high thing on people's list? Or it's like, I don't know if I need to pray with anybody. I can just pray when I feel like it. But there's power in prayer. Corporate power, corporate prayer can be very powerful. And that's why when we have a prayer request in a bulletin or of people's names, you know, there's some people that like not people knowing anything about you. I don't understand that, but I respect that. If somebody says don't put it on the prayer chain or don't let anybody else know about it, just you pray when you think of me. But I just think the more people you have praying for you, the better. And it's not.
Do you think your prayers carry more weight than anyone?
No, I don't.
Well, I don't think you do, but no. Some people might.
You know, I think the best people to have praying for you are kids.
Honest, open hearts.
Yeah, kids. They just pray so honestly and simply. And they don't worry about anything else because they're talking to God. Sometimes as adults, we got to sometimes change our voice. Dear Lord, I hope you hear me. You know, or you think about so many other things that will make sure you pray right. And it's like you can't pray wrong. I mean, God knows your heart whenever you pray. But it's good for us. He wants us to pray to him. There's no doubt about that. Because he likes to hear from his kids. Just like you like to hear from yours. So, any feedback, any questions, any comments on the study today? The key verse, of course, would be verse 13, I think. It's a good verse. There's a number of good verses in chapter 4 of Philippians. 13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Could be probably the King James Version. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Any comments? Anything in the study that you needed to hear today?
All of it.
All of it, yeah.
It's only good to hear. I mean, just to hear all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it never gets old. I mean, God's Word, you know, look how many times it speaks to you that you might have read it how many times. And you go like, I didn't see that before. You know? It never wears out. Okay, I'll just shut this.